subject of my communication will be French-speaking culture in Russia, a controversial topic in French and Russian papers during the second half of the 18th century. In cultural circles of 18th century Russia, it was quite common to know and use French language, and even to assume its superiority above Russian. However, during the second part of the 18th century, periodical publications started to reflect the rise of disagreements on this topic. There were Russian intellectuals who used to think that imitate French language and French belles lettres were the right way to improve Russian national culture. But the love of France also gave rise to extravagant behavior, often ridiculed in the articles. This intervention aims to give an overview of the debate using various articles with different points of view. It will demonstrate that the press was particularly important into the process of thinking about the language and the evolution of Russian society. It will also try to elucidate political and cultural issues through the analysis of journalistic strategies and networks. Then we'll conclude by noticing that this topic not only provokes the controversy, but also generates new linguistics and literary forms. Through all the interventions that we've heard or are going to hear during this conference, we see various representations of Francophonie in Russia during the 18th century. Before showing a new one, I would like to demonstrate that the press played a decisive role in this controversy. This fact was determined by one main factor, which is the emergence of a new type of journals, spectators, at this moment. This journalistic genre, which had its origin at the beginning of the 18th century in England, spread all over the rest of Europe. Also called moralistic weeklies or moral weeklies, these papers are characterized by their subjects, moral questions like how a man should behave in a changing society, which communicational function took the contemporary human being in public areas like coffee shops, pubs and saloons, why had the journals become a medium for new form of conversation. In this context, the journals have two main interests for us. How they reflect theories and actions in the society, and how they themselves use this question about language in their pages. Among the various subjects of the articles, language, French or Russian language, is one of the most quoted. And I think that the literary form of the journal is the most appropriate to show the complexity of the debate. In Russia, for instance, manifestations of the controversy in the press appeared at the same exact time that the spectators started to be published during the second half of 18th century. With the reflect they gave us, we can really determine whether there was or not a real feeling of domination of French-speaking culture in Europe, and especially in Russia. So as we already noticed, a Francophone environment is a common fact in all well-educated and literate circles from the beginning of the 18th century in Europe, including and especially in Russia. The French papers noticed and gave accounts of this fact with an appearance of humility. For instance, the French journal L'Année Littéraire published in 1758 the first speech of Mr. Raoult at the head of the chair of French he just got at the Imperial University of Moscow. So, what he said? Je pourrais vous dire que la langue française, adoptée par toutes les nations codifiées, est devenue la langue universelle, qu'elle consacre la volonté des souverains dans ses traités qui assurent le bonheur et la tranquillité des empires, qu'elle vit en quelque sorte au-dessus d'elle-même par les règles éclatantes de Louis XIII, de Louis XIV et de Louis XV, par les ouvrages immortels de Bossuet, de Corneille et de Racine, elle a presque remplacé les langues d'Athènes et de Rome, dont elle égale les chefs-d'œuvre dans tous les genres de composition. I want to underline the rhetorical figure of the, rhetorician, which insists on the superiority of French, though pretending not to do it. This produces the opposite effect of driving the attention of the, reader on all the virtues of French language, the French language as a tool of communication, not only in Russia, but all over Europe. This is a well-known situation. However, journalists sometimes pretend to be surprised. Is this fake humility or ignorance about Russia when, for instance, Fréron, in his paper L'année littéraire, comments a letter from Shuvalov as follows. Vous ne devez pas être peu surpris, monsieur, de voir un jeune seigneur russe écrire dans notre langue avec cette élégance et cette pureté. While admitting the exceptional influence of French-speaking culture at the time, journalists, Russian but also French, wonder why the Russian society, to boost the rise of national culture, would rather use French than its mother language. The answer given by many articles is that Russian language is unable to express abstraction or political ideas. From these assertions, it is easy to get to the conclusion that, Russian people, if they want to develop literature and arts, need another language. For instance, real or fictional Russian writers sent letters to journals. And one of the most common themes is the complaint against Russian language. If they are unable to write a masterpiece, this is because of the weakness of the language. For instance, this, this letter sent to the Russian paper Gibaud Pissiez in 1772. Стихов, я не пишу для того, что русский язык не способен к стихотворству. Я бы писал их на французском языке, но по несчастью, Вольтер, Расин и многие другие писатели родились прежде меня. So we often find the, this stereotype on Russian language that it is not a language to use for literary productions. From these stereotypes comes serious consequences. Russian intellectuals and aristocrats who want to give a good education to their, children would rather do it in another language than Russian. Most of the time, this is in French. Both Russian and French journals remind to their readers that a good education is above all a literary education. But without any good books written in Russian, as they say, the young people are, at first, raised and educated in French-speaking culture. French journalists are proud of that, like the editor of the Gazette de Littérature, while giving an account of the book Essay on Russian Theatre. On s'attend bien que c'est le théâtre français qui fournit les pièces que l'on fait apprendre à la jeunesse qui le représente. La Russie ne peut pas encore en avoir un. In 1776, wasn't true. However, in all the papers we've just quoted, we have also found articles giving the opposite opinion and even discussing the merits of Francophonie. Obviously, there was also in Russia a tendency to ridicule the French Russians. These people who imitate foolishly each and every French manners in fashion purposes. This way of thinking gave birth to the ridiculous character of the petit maître, well known even across the border. En Russie, comme dans toutes les autres contrées de l'Europe, les jeunes gens se piquent d'être à la française. Ils imitent nos modes, prennent les airs de nos petits maîtres et jusqu'à l'armée. Another ridiculous character, represented on stage but in the papers too, is the bad writer who won't believe in his mediocrity, but try to minimize his lack of success by the bad effect of Russian language. For instance, in the journal Adkaya Pochta, a playwright called ironically Mr. French complains about the fall of his play, and every reader can understand that these lines are a satiric imitation of the Russian reality and a way to criticize the bad consequences of Francophony in Russia. Господин Французов, он достал бранью всех комедиантов, утверждая, что они подряд комедии не представляли они так, как на то. So these two opposite images of Francophony therefore existed in Russia at this time. One is positive, and the other one is the ridiculous and satirical portrait of the Francophile, the French-Russian, as, for instance, we already quoted this text. Les auteurs dramatiques, chacun dans sa sphère, prêchent leurs compatriotes pour les prévenir de cette épidémie universelle, which is imitating French people. Ils revêtent un sceau d'un habit français et livrent le sceau à la risée publique. En sortant de la comédie, tout le monde veut encore être français. Celle-ci est une critique agréable de ceux qui croient que l'éducation de leurs enfants est complète quand ils parlent français. This article proves that this fashionable kind of place of moral genres was known even in France. It shows the interaction between all the genres of communication and discourses, especially theater. The same phenomenon can be observed in both genres. Questions about Francophony are delicate, and it is very difficult for the writers to keep a moderate position in the journals. Unless it was the redactor himself who wanted to keep only the most passionate letters or articles. We can read in the journal pages a real confrontation between two sides, especially when a big social or cultural event happens. Assuming the fact that the periodical publication could take account of only a small part of the real debate, we can imagine how it was important and violent in real life. More than a way of life, choosing to speak French or suppose Francophone is therefore a cultural and even political position. We are going to develop only one example, the Colette's play Depuis et de René, translated by Lukin and played in Russia in 1769 under the title Test Iziat. This play provoked a big controversy in cultural circles and in the press, because there were a lot of disagreements around Lukin's translation methods, especially transposing the play into Russian customs. We already talked about that before. The critics were divided in two parts. Those who thought that the play was still too French after the translation, and those who thought that it should never have been translated in Russian, because French language is, above all, the proper language of theater. The controversy started with the journal Vsekhovsyachina, with the amusing story of a spectator noticing all the details in the play that state too French. The narrator would rather have seen a play more different from the original one, as long as it would have been more Russian. So that's what he said. Она названа по-русски «Тест изъять». Sophia, ah Sophia, я тебя прямо обожаю. Комедия переведена на наш язык. И действие происходит в Петербурге. Однако здесь любовники так не говорят. The problem is always Sophia, which is too French for the spectator. A direct answer to this article can be found in another journal of the same time, Smith, a few days later. It compares the Russian translation with the original version, trying to explain the lack of success of the play in Russia. From this story, we understand that some spectators blamed not the play, but only its translation, its Russian translation, implying that Russian language damaged the play. So in this little example, we can observe all the rivalries between French and Russian, between the francophile and the francophobe. To close the discussion, the journalist needed an authority figure, and he chose the paradoxical character of a Parisian who declares that the play is very good in French. Okay, sorry for that. Он недавно приехал из Парижа. Я бы, продолжал он, отдал все свои имения за то, если бы их по-русски так сыграли, как играли они были при мне в Париже. And to conclude, комедии на французском языке хорош. French-speaking culture in Russia was a lot more than a way to express themselves or contemporaries. It questions the ability of Russia to have a national culture, even if it admits also borrowing from other cultures in order to create a literary Russian language. What is really intriguing about this fact is that very often French journals were more enthusiastic than Russian about the rise of Russian national culture. For instance, when L'Année littéraire published in 1760 a letter from Shuvalov describing the literary world in Russia at this moment, the journal and Fréron, the redactor, insists on the part where he focuses on Lomonosov and the birth of Russian literary language. This part. Le premier qui est tenté d'entrer dans une carrière que personne ne lui avait ouvert. Il nous a découvert les beautés et les richesses de notre langue, il nous en a fait sentir l'harmonie, il nous en a développé les grâces et l'a dépouillé en partie de sa grossière. However, the writer still notes that Russian language is only en partie as sophisticated as French. And we of course also have to notice that this original letter was written in French. To conclude the last minute I have, all these passionate conversations are, for us, the best indicator of the social and cultural changing which took place at this moment in Russia. The issues are not only linguistic, but also political and cultural. For the well-educated Russian, communicating in French was a way to show their good education. But paradoxically, going far from French was the way to become more independent and to develop national culture. What is particularly important to notice is that, thinking about this subject, the journalist created new forms of discourse and language through the press. And at the same time, Russia was a fashionable topic in French papers. Journalists and writers suddenly took a real interest in Russian society and seemed to appreciate it. They wrote about the Russian language and encouraged Russian writers to develop their own literary language. But it is difficult to distinguish in that sincerity from flattery or condescension. as we can see in the speech of Raoul that we mentioned before.
It will be the last quotation.
Votre langue, pleine d'énergie et de délicatesse au jugement de ceux qui la connaissent, n'est point renfermée dans les bornes d'un état resserré. Elle est également propre aux sciences abstraites, au sublime et aux grâces de la poésie. Bientôt, toute la littérature sera de son ressort. So we see that for French journalists, there was also a political issue. They had to show the good relationship they have with Russia, without denying the superiority of French and French culture. That is why the most common attitude is this attitude, like a father encouraging a child to go into literature and culture. Only later, at the end of the century and during the 19th century, will change the French point of view about Russia, according to this country, a real independence and originality in arts and language. Francophonie, as a tool of communication, but also as a controversial topic, was crucial in this evolution on which it's based until nowadays. The successful and rich cultural exchanges between France and Russia. Thank you.